Here we go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard! Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Stand up and shine!
My puck, baby! Don't you ever touch my puck!
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Well, we're live. I didn't do that.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Friday edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. The first Friday edition of The Scoop, as things have been going just swimmingly here the first week of the show. Reminder for those who are maybe tuning in for the first time, be sure to go to myklgr.com/thescoop for the Scoop show page. That'll be under construction probably as we continue along here throughout the summer. But as of right now, just a little bit of an overview of what the show will entail, and also a way for you to listen to previous episodes. We will podcast every episode that we have here on The Scoop. So if you miss one, don't worry. You can catch it later on by going to myklgr.com/thescoop. Click on the link that will direct you to the podcast, so you'll be able to listen whenever you'd like to our program, The Scoop, here on KLGR. We've got a great show today. Going to have our weekly Timberwolves guest on later in the show at around 3:45. Going to keep his name a secret for now, but we'll reveal that at 3:45 when we talk about the NBA draft and some of those Timberwolves trade rumors, as well as how the NBA Finals went last night. So we'll have that. A reminder, on Tuesday, we'll be live from the Minnesota Wild Road Tour at the Redwood Area Community Center Civic Arena. We'll have a couple of Minnesota Wild players on at the beginning of the show, Nate Prosser and Ryan Carter. So you can be tuning in for that on Tuesday. No show on Monday. I'll be headed down to Omaha this weekend to catch the College World Series live and in person. So no show on Monday, but we'll be back again on Tuesday of next week. Well, let's get into our top headlines here for today and see what we got going on in the world of sports. And taking a look at some of our top sports headlines here for today. The Cleveland Cavaliers have evened the NBA Finals at 3 games apiece. Game 6 last night in Cleveland, and the Cavaliers were able to control the action throughout the course of the night. They end up coming away with another victory to even things up at 3 games apiece. Our second headline of the day, the U.S. Open continuing. They'll try to get yesterday's rounds finished, and we'll try to play today's rounds, as weather kind of hampered things yesterday for the first round of the U.S. Open. So that will continue all throughout the weekend, and we'll take a look at the leaderboard later on here in The Scoop today. Minnesota Twins started a series last night against the New York Yankees, and things went about as you would expect facing the Yankees with the lead. as the Yankees bullpen shut things down after the Yankees were able to take the lead, and the Twins ended up losing by a score of 4-1. We'll have more on that coming up later on in the scoop as well. And this, not only a headline, but also just generally curious myself. Does anybody know what happened to Kevin Love? As he just has been a non-factor in the NBA Finals. Has been injured, missed Game 3 with a concussion, but has just generally been ineffective. So we'll talk about that. We'll look at the numbers a little bit more in depth coming up later on here on The Scoop. And also, U.S. Bank Stadium, the new home for the Minnesota Vikings, is open for business as construction was, for the most part, completed well ahead of schedule. So we will talk about that as well later on here during The Scoop. So those are your top sports headlines here for today. And we will break those down in more depth coming up here later on. But for right now, we are going to get to a short break, and we will come back with much more to get to here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop.
And that's the bottom line.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Miss today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
Just about 319 here on The Scoop. Again, a reminder, we've got our Timberwolves guest that we'll have on a weekly basis here. We will be having a chance to talk with him coming up at 3:45. We'll reveal the name and the website that you can take a look at for his work at 3:45. Getting to some of our top sports headlines here for the day. And we'll start off with the Minnesota Twins, who were, as mentioned, taking on the New York Yankees in the first of a four-game series last night. Kyle Gibson on the mound against CC Sabathia. And the Twins were able to keep things relatively close for a good portion of the game. However, a three-run home run by Didi Gregorius in the top of the seventh inning on the first pitch from Fernando Abad ended up being the difference as the Twins fell behind, and it was Dellin Betances, Andrew Miller, and Aroldis Chapman combining to allow just one hit in three innings with five strikeouts. And the Yankees ended up winning once again against the Twins. They improved to 32-34. The Twins fall to 20-46. They are 12-22 at home. And after the game, Twins manager Paul Molitor had some thoughts about how things ended up going for the Twins, and especially for pitcher Kyle Gibson.
I think he's up to four hits now. I think Gregorius 0-for-4 or whatever it was, and you know, we just wanted to get a chance to bring him in there and face that particular part of the lineup. You're hoping for a strikeout, and you know, even a walk wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but he tried to get ahead and he was ready.
And that actually was Molitor's thoughts on bringing in Abad to face the left-handed hitting Gregorius, which ended up being a home run. Abad had been pretty good for the Twins so far this year, so I have no problem with him being brought in to try to get the Twins out of that inning. But here are some of Molitor's thoughts on how Gibson did in his start last night.
I thought he was more aggressive early in the game. Pitch count was down, and you know, they tied the game up on a single against the shift, and you know, a double. He did a nice job of minimizing there to keep it at one.
Twins starter Kyle Gibson, however, was much less kind to himself after the outing, as he described it, in his words, as maddening.
Yeah, I mean, I think the frustrating part is, you know, both those rallies were started off by a pretty soft hit ball and then a walk. You know, it's unfortunate that I felt like I was in control most of the game and executing pitches really well. And then, you know, both those innings kind of, I don't know if I lost it or what on the two walks, but threw a few too many non-competitive pitches in those at-bats and didn't attack well enough. But, you know, yeah, I mean, that's going to cause a frustrating outing when a couple ground balls like that are just hitting the right spot.
Gibson falls to 0-5 on the season. It has been a rough go for Gibson after putting together a pretty strong campaign last year, but that's been kind of the story with Gibson, is that he's either really, really good or really, really bad. So we'll see if he can try to find some middle ground as things progress here this season. But that moves the Twins, as mentioned, to 20-46. The Twins also made a roster move yesterday, as Danny Santana was recalled from his rehab assignment and off of the disabled list as well. And the Twins designated for assignment Oswaldo Arcia, a very promising left-handed power hitter that the Twins just could not really find a spot for, so they ended up designating him for assignment. Sounds awfully familiar to another player that they did that with many years ago, a left-handed power hitter that just couldn't find a spot to stick with on the Twins roster, was released and came to play for a certain Boston team, Mr. David Ortiz. And we saw the results that had with both the Twins and the Red Sox, as Ortiz has had just a phenomenal career post-Twins playing days. Certainly doubtful that Arcia will be able to have that sort of magic after he is picked up by another team. We'll see if he is picked up by another team. It's possible that he'll just clear waivers and be sent down to AAA Rochester, but certainly an intriguing bat that I'm sure a lot of teams will at least take a look at with him being designated for assignment. So we'll see what the Twins decide to do with Arcia. We'll see if anybody decides to take a look at him as a potential outfielder anytime here in the next few days. Also, one of our top headlines of the day was the construction of U.S. Bank Stadium. It has officially been announced as substantially complete. That's the term that is given when a majority of the construction is complete, other than some minor details. But the U.S. Bank Stadium is now fit for the Vikings to come in and enjoy, as the keys were officially turned over to the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority and the Minnesota Vikings during a ceremony today. And some of the numbers that go along with U.S. Bank Stadium: ground was broken on December 3rd, 2013, so things took just a little bit over 3 years to complete, and this originally was scheduled for July 29th, the ceremony to hand the keys over for U.S. Bank Stadium. So a good job to the construction companies for getting things done well in advance, and I cannot wait to get a chance to take a look at U.S. Bank Stadium up close. And if you would like to have the opportunity to take a look at U.S. Bank Stadium, there will be a grand opening ceremony on July 22nd, and then U.S. Bank Stadium will host free public open houses on July 23rd and 24th, including a weekend-long family-friendly festival. So plenty of opportunity to come in and see the stadium in its completion before it hosts any events. The first sporting event that will be held at U.S. Bank Stadium will be AC Milan versus Chelsea on August 3rd as part of the 2016 International Champions Cup, and back-to-back concerts by Luke Bryan and Metallica on August 19th and August 20th, and then, of course, the home opener September 18th versus the Green Bay Packers will be the first regular season game for the Vikings in their new digs. That will lead up to Super Bowl the Super Bowl in 2018 and the 2019 NCAA Men's Final Four. So quite a bit of publicity for U.S. Bank Stadium, and certainly a great opportunity to take a look at it as well. We are going to get to another break here on The Scoop. We will come back in just a bit.
You're listening to The Scoop.
I'll be back.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
3:32 here on The Scoop. Again, we will be debuting our Timberwolves segment with our special Timberwolves guest who will be joining us on a weekly basis coming up at 3:45. So keep it close here on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9 to listen to that segment again coming up at 3:45. Taking a look at some other headlines here today, taking a look briefly at the U.S. Open leaderboard. First round finished up today, and now the second round will get underway a little bit later on. But Andrew Landry still leading, 4 under, shot a 66 in round one. He's followed by Dustin Johnson and Lee Westwood, both at 3 under with 67s in round one. Scott Piercy and Shane Lowry both at 2 under par with 68s in round one, and then a few players at 1 under, Sergio Garcia, Scotty Scheffler, Kevin Streelman, Bubba Watson, and Danny Lee all at 1 under. Some of the other notable scores here for today: Adam Scott at 1 over par after his first round of play. Matt Kuchar also at 1 over par. Zach Johnson at 1 over. Jordan Spieth at 2 over. As he was even par until the back nine and when play was stopped, but finishing with a 72 for his first round of the day. And just scanning through the leaderboard here, Phil Mickelson with a 74. He is 4 over, has started his second round, and is currently even par through round number two. Other scores here, as I just kind of take a quick look at the leaderboard, Ricky Fowler at 6 over after his first round of play. So that is a little bit of a look. Rory McIlroy as well, 7 over after one round of play. He had a 77 on the first round. So that is a look at the leaderboard here for the U.S. Open. We will continue to keep an eye on that. We'll have a recap of how things turned out for you on Tuesday. Again, no show on Monday. I'll be down in Omaha watching the College World Series. So no show on Monday. We'll have The Scoop back again on Tuesday here on KLGR. We are going to get to another short break. We will come back with more of The Scoop right after that.
You're listening to The Scoop.
I'll be back.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Joined now on The Scoop by Dan Slabaugh, the founder of On the Prowl, the blog covering the Minnesota Timberwolves. Dan, thanks for joining me on The Scoop.
How's it going, Seth? I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're going to talk some Timberwolves here today, and we'll back up a little bit as coming into the season, The team had some pretty lofty expectations with the amount of talent that they had amassed, and they add to that with Karl-Anthony Towns. But we're going into kind of a new direction, as the team had kind of the passing of Flip Saunders hanging over them the entire season. Sam Mitchell did the best that he could to step in and try to lead the team. Did a fairly good job by all accounts, but now we begin the Tom Thibodeau era, as Thibodeau was named the coach and president of basketball operations earlier this summer. Dan, first want to start off by getting your thoughts on what Thibodeau will be able to bring to this very talented Wolves roster.
Well, Thibodeau brings a winning attitude, you know, and he brings a reputable resume to the organization. You know, wherever he's been, he's, you know, coached up a top five, top 10 defense in the NBA. You know, he's won, which is something the Wolves haven't been doing over the past decade. Just that alone will, having a winner up in the front office, you know, as a head coach who's won before, who's done it, you know, been in the playoffs, been challenged before deep into the playoffs will really be beneficial to this Wolves organization, who, you know, doesn't have, you know, a lot of winning experience, playoff experience right now. Defensively, expectations are high, like you said, with, you know, our supreme, you know, athleticism, you know, as a team with Wiggins, Towns, and, you know, Ricky being a top three, top five defender at point guard. You'd think Thibodeau would be able to mold this defense into a, you know, top 12, top, you know, top 10 defense, which alone could push the Wolves into the playoffs. But yeah, expectations are high. Wolves fans should be very excited about the hiring of Thibodeau.
The team ended up with the fifth overall pick in the NBA draft lottery. And there certainly has been no shortage of rumors that have been swirling around with, will the Timberwolves keep the pick and draft one of the talented players that they could get in the NBA draft this year? Will they trade the pick, try to bring in more of a veteran presence? I've certainly been associated with several rumors involving Jimmy Butler, one of Thibodeau's former players from the Chicago Bulls, who would definitely bring a veteran presence and an outside shooting touch to this team. But it sounds as though in order to get a player like Butler, it's not only going to take that fifth overall pick, but it also, from some of the accounts that I've seen, might also take Andrew Wiggins. And I just wanted to get some of your thoughts, Dan, on maybe any other rumors that you have heard associated with the Timberwolves here with this pick, and your thoughts maybe as well on if the Timberwolves should pursue a trade for Butler, if it's going to cost as much as it is rumored to have to cost to get him.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I haven't heard many other rumors about any other potential players besides Butler. But as far as the Butler situation goes, I mean, you know, of course, I like the idea. Who doesn't like the idea? But Chicago really wants the number five pick and Andrew Wiggins as part of the deal, which is the most recent report. Then, you know, Tom Thibodeau should just shut his phone off and throw it in the river. I mean, Butler can, you know, having Butler and Wiggins on the wing would be, has the potential to, you know, be locked down against, opposing, guard tandems. Adding Butler to the defensive core that we already have would seriously push us over the top, and we would, I don't know about over the top. That may be going a little too far, but I don't think that anybody would disagree with the idea of the Wolves being a top five team in the Western Conference. Let's just put it that way. But, you know, I don't think that the Wolves – I think the Wolves, of course, have the resources to get a deal like that done, but, you know, I don't think they're going to be parting ways with Andrew Wiggins anytime soon. So I think that conversation ends the conversation ends there unless Chicago, you know, changes their mind and, you know, would like, you know, have James, you know, would like to take on a player like Zach LaVine that he can grow into a, you know, potential star. But, you know, I, as far as right now, the, you know, it's appealing, of course, but it doesn't seem, you know, very realistic. Yeah, but as far as, you know, leading up to the draft, I am in favor personally of the, you know, the Wolves, you know, searching and exploring, you know, all routes to trading the pick, but I guess we'll just have to see where that takes us.
Yeah, it's only a week away, less than a week away, as the draft is on June 23rd, so not that much time left to speculate as to what's going to happen. We'll be able to talk the full results of what happens next week. And I agree. I don't really want to see the Timberwolves try to pursue a player of Butler's caliber if it is going to cost them a part of their core. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the whole goal, you know, if the Wolves, which they would never do, but, you know, if people were in favor of somehow trading Wiggins for Butler, that, I mean, of course, the idea is, you know, completely ridiculous. Like, the goal here is to add on to your core, not replace your core. It's, you know, but I don't know. That's a discussion that doesn't need to be. It does not need to be said. But yeah, no, it's an exciting time, and you know, this fifth pick that we have in the draft coming up, it's not necessarily a crucial one for the organization. It's more of just, you know, the gravy. Or the icing on the cake, as you would put it. But, yeah.
We're talking to Dan Slabaugh, the founder of On the Prowl. You can follow On the Prowl on Twitter, @OnTheProwl_MN. You can also follow Dan, @DanSlabaugh, and last name SlaubaugH. Dan, I wanted to take a little bit of a time to talk about your website, as one of your more recent posts, one that I really enjoyed taking a look at, comparing the members of the Timberwolves roster to the cast members of Parks and Rec. First question I got to ask you about that is, how on earth do you come up with an idea to do something as creative as that?
So a while ago, I actually read William Bull, who is a writer at Wolf Among Wolves and Fear the Sword, which is the Cavaliers SB Nation blog. He wrote a piece that kind of compared members of The Office to the Cavaliers players, and I thought it was brilliant. It was really fun to read, and reading it, I was like, wow, this would be a fun piece to write, and I'm sure would draw, you know, a bit of attention. So, you know, kind of just went on with it, and yeah, I guess what I hear, it turned out pretty good, and yeah, I guess I'm happy to be an entertainer, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it too much for people who maybe haven't seen it yet and want to take a look, but yeah, it goes through and breaks down comparisons for all of the stars for the Timberwolves. Really, like I said, just a fun read for anybody who is kind of looking for a way to still keep in touch with the Timberwolves, despite the fact that it is going to be the off season here for quite a long time. But Dan, we've got, as I mentioned, the draft coming up next week. Can't wait to see what the Timberwolves do, whatever that may be, and looking forward to breaking that down with you again next week on The Scoop.
Oh, definitely. Yep. Exciting time for the Timberwolves organization right now, and it should be an exciting week coming up. We have our Timberwolves draft preview and predictions roundtable that will be coming out on the Wednesday. One day before the draft, we'll have some, you know, our bold prediction of the night, and have each of our bloggers, myself, Zach Moore, Jermall Holt, and Alex Berg, will have our personal top three choices for what the Wolves do Thursday night, and should be a fun read, and should be a fun night Thursday night.
Excellent. Dan Slabaugh, the founder, as mentioned, of On the Prowl, the Timberwolves blog. Be sure to check that out if you haven't already, ontheprowlmn.com. You can also follow them on Twitter, @ontheprowl_MN. Dan, thanks for taking some time to join me here on The Scoop. Looking forward to getting this segment going here on a weekly basis and getting a chance to see how this young Timberwolves team develops here over the season.
Hey, thanks, Seth. I appreciate the time.
Taunting Marty Foster to throw him out, and he's gone.
And he gone.
Fans want an ejection. There he goes.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
And that's going to wrap it up for today's edition of The Scoop. Great to talk to Dan Slabaugh of On the Prowl. Going to be exciting to take a look at what this Minnesota Timberwolves team has to offer here this season under Tom Thibodeau. No show on Monday, as mentioned before. I will be in Omaha watching the College World Series, but we'll be back on Tuesday broadcasting live for the Minnesota Wild Road Tour. We'll also talk to Brandon Warren about the Minnesota Twins as the Twins hosting Yankees here this weekend. You can check out myklgr.com/thescoop for each and every episode of our show. And if you missed the first couple, they're all up on the website, so take a listen to those as well. But have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Tuesday for another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.